Today's scripture is from Job 23, one of my favorite scriptures. Verses 1 through 9, 16 through 17. And Job answered, "Today also my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his dwelling. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn what he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in the greatness of his power? No, but he would give me heed to me. There the upright could reason with him, and I should be acquitted forever by my judge. If I go forward, he is not there, or backward, I cannot perceive him. On the left, he hides, and I cannot behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. If only I could vanish in the darkness, and thick darkness would cover my face."
This morning's New Testament scripture is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. "Indeed, the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him, no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Since, then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." May God bless and lend understanding to the reading of his word. Nobody knows who wrote that. They used to think Paul wrote it, but they decided no, it couldn't be him. Nobody wrote that. Nobody knows who wrote that. But Hebrews has a fairly clear purpose. According to one resource, the book of Hebrews encourages the Jewish followers of Christ to endure and not return to the practices of the old Jewish covenant. Hebrews reminds the readers that Christ is superior to angels and prophets, and that Christ's sacrifice is superior to the temple's sacrifices, and that Christ is superior as the Son of God. And so, consistent with the message of Hebrews, if one were to think that the best way to be a Christian is to go back to the old Hebrew way of living, to go back to the first five books of the Bible, that person would be mistaken. Not that they aren't of value, but because we have a new covenant. That's the old covenant, this is a new covenant. And this author argues that Christianity is superior in every way. And the author argues that believers have a better savior than the old system, which involved sacrificing bulls and goats. Because Jesus made a better sacrifice. I think you can get behind this notion. Aren't you glad we didn't sacrifice a bull this morning in church? Likewise, not only do we have a better sacrifice, we have a better priest, who is Jesus, who sympathizes with us. I'm preaching to the choir here. Well, I'm preaching to Protestants. The choir isn't here today. But when I'm preaching to Protestants, it's hard to think of a priest. I think for Protestants, it's hard for us to think of a priest in the way that other denominations is, in the Catholic Church, or the way that ancient Judaism, they thought of a priest. The only thing that we have, in those places, the priest is a very important figure. Very important. In the Protestant churches, the only thing we have to compare with the priest is the pastor. And we know, you know this, I'm not teaching you something new, that the pastor doesn't have the spiritual function that the priest has. The priest serves as an intermediary between us and God. So you go to the priest to receive forgiveness from God, and nobody thinks that you have to come to me to receive forgiveness from God. And thankfully, I'm not the intermediary. I'm not the go-between between you and God. You can go to God directly. In your private prayers, you can go to God. You don't need to come to me for confession. You don't need to come to me for intercession. You just go directly to God and talk to God yourself. I mean, sure, pastors and priests do things that are in common. We preach and we pray. We visit. And we help administer the organization. But it's kind of hard for Protestants to imagine the priest in the old Judaism. And a priest even today in Catholicism. It's just so different, and it's so essential, the way they look at things. He, and it is, in those sects, in Catholicism and Judaism, it's always a he, isn't it? He is the only hope that we have for forgiveness in those places. That's what we go through the priest. And in old Judaism, when the temple was still standing, once a year in Yom Kippur, which was yesterday in the calendar, Jewish calendar, that's the Day of Atonement. That's the day when the priest would make everything right between you and God. The high priest, in a big ceremony, would go behind to the Holy of Holies in the back of the sanctuary. We don't have such a comparable structure here, but all right, there's a curtain there. Okay, imagine me going back behind the curtain, and there was a room back there where God would dwell, where people would experience the Shekinah, which is God's presence, those who went back there. And God's presence being very holy, the priest would go and ask God to forgive people for all of their sins. And it wasn't, it being the way it wasn't just simply an ask. The priest would sacrifice a goat back there, or two goats back there, for the people's sins. You wouldn't see it, but I'm glad I don't have to go back there today to sacrifice some goats for your sins today. That's also the only time on the Day of Atonement. That was the day the priest was allowed to say God's name. And I don't mean to be disrespectful, but they would not actually provide the consonants for Yod, Hey, Wah, Hey, which is the Hebrew alphabet. We think, the vowels. We think we know what the vowels were. We don't really know. We just know the consonants. Yod, Hey, Wah, Hey, which is like YHWH. That's all we know. And so we say Yahweh as if we knew the first vowel was Ah and the second vowel was A. We think we know that, but we don't know. But anyway, that was the only day the priest could say the name of God. And to get ready to go into the Holy of Holies, the priest had to go through his own cleansing, ceremonial cleansing. He had to go in and sacrifice a bull for his own sins. He'd have to put on special clean garments. But before that, he'd have to take a bath and get spiritually and physically clean. And then put on special garments, and then go back there. And in the past, in the 200 years leading up to Jesus, they were afraid the priest would go back there and die in the holy presence of God, because there might be still some unforgiven sins. And nobody else wanted to go back there and retrieve the body, because they might die. And so what they would do is tie a rope around the ankle of the priest so they could drag him out if he died in there. I don't have to tell you, I'm really glad that's not the way it is right now. But that's how it was done. But if everything went well, and I'm sure it often did, the priest would return alive, and the people would know they are forgiven because of this work of the priest. What a job. You know, I like the way we do things much better now. What a job to ask one person. But you know, all the things they asked of him, there's one thing they don't ask of me. That they didn't ask of him that they do ask of me. That the priest care for the people. The priest didn't have to care for the people at all. It was just a job that he had to do. Go back there, do his thing, and come back hopefully alive. The priest didn't have to care for the people at all. Didn't have to sympathize, didn't have to empathize, didn't have to know what it's like to be the ordinary people at all. The priest had a really nice job with big, expensive robes, you know, got the best cuts of meat, got the best place to live. The priest could be totally detached from the people for whom he was called to serve because nobody said, you got to care if you're a good high priest. All you do is have to go back there and risk your life every year, and then people's sins are forgiven. And that's what the author of Hebrews says is the big difference between the high priest system and the current system, which is Jesus being the sacrifice for our sins. Because unlike the high priest, Jesus cares. Verse 15 says, we do not have a priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. And if you look at the Greek for that, you get the word sympathizai. I'm not a Greek scholar, but it says in the King James, it's translated as a person that cannot be touched with the feeling of our sins, or to be affected with the same feeling as another. That's what the Concordance says. To feel for, to have compassion for others. To be touched with the feeling of. Jesus is described as one who has been, in every respect, tested as we are, and yet is without sin. Now that means Jesus was tempted. Jesus knew all of the temptations, better ones than I've had. Jesus was offered all the kingdoms of the world by the enemy, and he turned that down. Jesus was offered the chance to throw himself off a high building and live, and he turned that down. Temptations I've never had to have, but certainly, you know, what if everybody offered me everything in the world, and I could be the king of the world? How many of you might consider that just for a minute? Yeah, I saw an honest person in here who raised her hand. I won't call you out, but good. You know, there's all a part of us that would like to just turn the world around and straighten things out and make things our way. I mean, we feel that desire in all of us to be the king of the world or the queen of the world. And yet, Jesus was given that opportunity and turned it down. And every other temptation there was under the sun, he experienced that as humans do, and yet he turned it down, and scriptures say he was without sin. We know Jesus loves us. We sang it from earliest childhood, from the time we were little kids. Jesus loves me, this I know. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. I used to sing that to my kids. And I'd sing it like this too. I'd say, I'm so glad that David's my son. David's my son. David's my son. I'm so glad that David's my son. David's my special son. And I said the same thing for Vanessa. I would sing that song to them after saying that Jesus loves me Jesus loves even me. And we know that Jesus saves. People say that. People make neon signs that say, Jesus saves. John 3:16 still appears in the ballparks. And Protestant knows that Jesus, not the priest, not the high priest even, Jesus is the intermediary between ourselves and God. Jesus intercedes for us between ourselves and God. Jesus' sacrifice, not that of bulls or goats, saves us. Jesus did that. And so, knowing that, we say, Jesus saves. But I never see Jesus cares. Nobody puts up a sign that says Jesus cares. No neon signs say Jesus cares. And yet he most certainly does. That's what sympathize means, is having that ability to care for the feelings, to feel the feelings of another person. Jesus knows what it's like to be human, with all its struggles and hurts and temptations. Jesus knows what it's like to be us. How approachable Jesus is. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus. I cannot bear this burden alone. He is the high priest, walking for us, boldly into the Holy of Holies, dying for sins. Not his own sins, but the sins of the world. And in the process, he is tearing that veil and tearing the curtain that separates us from God. We look at that and we say, what a high priest we have. What a friend we have in Jesus. Our sympathetic priest.